everyone, and welcome back to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. This is season two. I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Reggie.
And this week, we're talking all about our favorite B-movies.
B-movies. Now, are those like the little insects that pollinate flowers? We're just talking about those types of movies, right?
Absolutely. Not at all. We're talking about this cheesy, campy, all around, you might be afraid to admit you watch and enjoy type of movies.
Nice. We also have a little bit of a different format. You might actually be seeing our beautiful faces if you're watching the video.
Speak for yourself. I look like a ghoul.
No, we all look good. We also are all back together recording. If you notice our heads turning, it's because I am sitting right next to Tom. And I am sitting right next to Shane.
Kind of. Eye.
And I am fully vaccinated.
Which, we have had our vaccines. Mm-hmm. Shane, you're fully vaccinated.
I'm fully vaccinated.
Thomas is fully vaccinated. I have one more to go. So I am not vaccinated. But Thomas and I work together all the time. So that's why we're sitting next together and Shane's all the way over there.
Yes.
Also, get your vaccine.
Please get your vaccine. It's very important. Mm-hmm. I would really like to do some stuff this summer.
Unless a doctor tells you not to, but not because you read something on Facebook from a random friend who's not a doctor.
True. B-movies.
Yes. And with that, we'll jump right into This Week in Nerd. What are you guys nerding out on?
What am I not nerding out on? Tom, do you want to go first?
Yes.
Please share with us.
I am so excited to be doing this again with people, yes. Not on Zoom. I don't like virtual meetings very much.
We did what we had to do for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that we rolled with our punches and my mom said that the first season was great. So that's really all the validation I needed.
I think we have 5 5-star reviews on iTunes and ratings. Actually, we have more ratings than we do reviews. So hint, hint, guys, if you like us, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It really helps.
Also, didn't we just get like 100 followers on Facebook recently?
We did.
We're moving up in the world. We're a big boy podcast now.
A big boy podcast in our multi-billion-dollar studio.
Mm-hmm. My kitchen, living room, dining room.
But it is a studio now because we put up green screens behind us. So, what have I been nerding out on this week? Lots of Pokemon. I took a big break from Animal Crossing. We had a long weekend at work, and I wasn't feeling Pokemon at first when I first started playing it, mostly because it had like a 4-hour tutorial phase, it felt like.
The beginning part is a little, if you're a regular Pokemon player, the beginning of Sword and Shield is a little bit of a slog. Mm-hmm. Because most of us already know what we're doing.
Yeah. So I have Pokemon Sword. I really, really enjoyed it, even though it was a lot more streamlined than a normal Pokemon game.
It's just different.
I do remember being lost in places for like days and like wanting to burn something down when I first played
Moon.
Mount Moon.
I was trapped in Mount Moon for probably like four months.
Was it the Sylph Company where you had those spinning platforms that you had to like, it was like a logic puzzle basically?
Do you remember those? Was that, and then there was also Sabrina's gym.
Oh my gosh.
The teleport pad.
That one killed me.
Mount Moon in Blue, which was my first Pokemon game, that I literally was stuck in Mount Moon for like 4 months because I couldn't figure out how to get out. And I didn't understand what an escape rope was.
Oh, yeah.
I was in fourth grade, so.
I'm pretty sure on Pokemon Red, I'm still stuck in a cave. Never got out.
Was it the one that was dark that you had to learn Flash?
No, I don't think it was dark. It just, there's no end. And you run into a Zubat every 3 seconds.
That might be Victory Road.
Victory Road or the cave that Mewtwo's in. Cerulean Cave, I think is what it's called.
I don't know, but I'm in a cave on Pokemon Red. Always forever.
Let's get together. We'll get you out of there.
But that was my first Pokemon game I've played in quite a while. I'm a big fan of the original, like up to Gold. those Pokemon, but then they just kind of got a little extra with how many are involved now. But I really had fun. I spent like my entire Easter weekend just leveling up Pokemon and beating every gym challenge, and finally beat the champion. I haven't caught any of the, I've only caught the legendary Pokemon you catch at the end. Okay. Like the storyline. Okay. Like I said, just very, very, they held your hand a lot more than a normal Pokemon game. But yeah. Reggie, you said this was probably your second favorite of all time.
I really liked Sword and Shield a lot. I also really liked the DLC that came with it. The, Armor of Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra. I thought those added a lot of fun gameplay to it. My favorite Pokemon game will always be Silver and Gold.
Yes.
Espeon and Celebi are my two favorite Pokemon of all time. If I could have one wish, I'm pretty sure it would be for Pokemon to be real and or for me to have a Celebi and or Espeon.
When did they add on like the Pokemon camping that they had in Sword and Shield? You could camp and play with your Pokemon, level them up that way, and fix them food. Kind of.
So every game always has some kind of unique game mechanic mm-hmm. to it now. Like that's the thing that they do. Ruby and Sapphire had the bases. Or maybe that was Diamond and Pearl had the bases where you would like go underground and you can make like literally a clubhouse with traps and stuff and your friends could come over and could see it and stuff. There was, and every game had a gimmick, like Sun and Moon had the island, the Pelico Island. What was it called? I can't remember what it was called, but you can send your Pokemon to an island, and instead of them just being in the boxes, they were like chilling on an island. Hmm. And in this game, Sword and Shield, the gimmick and special thing was the camping and the cooking together. Like that was something that was unique to this in Froakie, Finnegan.
Which one?
X and Y.
Oh, X and Y.
X and Y, the gimmick in that one was that you had like this special training screen on your, because it was the 3DS, so mm-hmm. on the bottom part of it.
Yes.
There was that special training screen with the punching bags mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So every game had a gimmick and a special thing. And this, that was the special thing for Sun and Moon.
Sword and Shield. That was pretty cool. And Espeon, when Espeon's in camp, is adorable. It wants to play so much. I thought that part was cool just because it kind of had, you know, I feel like one of the coolest parts of the old anime was Brock's food that he would cook. Mm-hmm. I always wanted one of those like rice balls that always show up.
Nothing ever looked more appetizing than that rice cake with the seaweed stripe at the top.
Yes.
Or Monster Hunters, the mochi, the little pink.
Oh, yeah.
Things. I know what you're talking about. You know, Google it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what generation did they add where not just the Pokemon battling levels up at the end of each battle?
That was something that so it's experience share is what it originally was. And originally experience share only, you put it on one Pokemon in your party and that Pokemon and the first one that fought got experience.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was Black and White when that first changed to where experience share, once you got it applied to your entire party, but there is an option to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can go into settings and turn it off because it does make it a little bit too easy at some points.
I was going to say, because I mean,
not for you.
Nope.
I was going to say, because kids nowadays will never experience having to put a Magikarp out into battle that couldn't attack anyone, switch it, kill the Pokemon with the other Pokemon. And the same thing with Metapod and Butterfree. Like,
I know you have. If you're going to do a Metapod to Butterfree, you have to catch a Caterpie that knows tackle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no other way. And I also discovered the whole level 15 Magikarp will learn tackle. So I never would catch a Magikarp unless it was level 15 or higher, because I was not. I did that one time when I was very young playing mm-hmm. it. Did suffered through. I will never do that again.
But yeah, I been playing a lot of Sword. I will say that I love the kind of feel of it being like Pokemon Stadium. I do wish they had kept some of the move animations from Pokemon Stadium, like how Harden would make you turn chrome.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool to me. But yeah, I mean, that's basically all I've done nerd-wise lately is from the time I get home, we'll put on Workaholics, which we've been rewatching, me and Allison, and playing Pokemon. Definitely had to cut back on my Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes and Animal Crossing to fit all that Pokemon in.
Well, Pokemon is one of those things that, like, you want to plow through the gym challenge to get to the trainer, and mm-hmm. then you have high-level Pokemon, and then you can go and do all the fun stuff. Find all the secret hidden things, and you surf, and at least that's how I play.
And I'd say, as far as the turn-based RPG games go, I had forgotten how much Pokemon engages my ADHD hyper-focus. So just, like, being able to, like, power through battles, like, and level up stuff, you know, that kind of keeps my attention a lot more than I had remembered. But I mean, like, Pokemon, like, any trip to, like, Disney World, like a 12-hour drive, was just Pokemon the entire time, and you'd be exhausted and have a headache by the time you're done playing. But that's my Week in Nerd. We just spent a lot of time talking about Pokemon, but
it's okay. I am Pokemon nerd, so
Pokemon's awesome. I love it.
It is.
Well, my week was, you know, lots of video games, little mm-hmm. of this, little of that. The big thing that I got was at the end of the month, on the last possible day, I purchased All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
The Mario 3D All-Stars. Mario 3D All-Stars. So I've been, for the first time ever, finally getting to play Sunshine.
Yay.
Which I'm kind of stuck in an infuriating part where there's multiple worlds that I can go to, but the story episode is mm-hmm. what they're labeled as. I can't figure it out.
Are you stuck on all levels where Bizarro Mario steals your water pack?
Not all of them, but two of them are.
That game was infuriating.
It is.
I literally ended up getting stuck on a level, like an impasse on both Mario 64 and Sunshine growing up. I've never beaten those games.
I will beat it. I will figure it out. But, you know. And then also, of course, I've been playing Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. That's been a lot of fun. I've been really, really working hard on my island these last couple of weeks during our break. And most evenings I try to get on and do a little bit of something. I've made a cemetery. I've been working on my villager collection. Finally have all of the villagers that I've wanted. I have one villager that's on my island that I'm fine if she moves out, but I don't know who I would replace them with.
She will never move out now because you're fine with it.
Yeah,
one of the others will always want to.
Oh, my favorite villager is Bianca. And for some reason, every single time I was trying to get somebody to move out, it was always her that wanted mm-hmm. to leave. And I was just being like, you can call me Wanda because you ain't getting out.
He was literally sitting at his desk refreshing over and over again because all of his favorite villagers kept wanting to leave.
I was like, no, you can't. No, sorry. When Animal Crossing New Horizons first came out, I was not playing it. Corey, Shane, mm-hmm. and our friend Jordy, you know, Jordy Marie Games, we've mentioned her.
We have.
Just a little.
They were all playing together. And the only thing that I asked was that for one of them to please get Freya on their island. and so just a couple of days ago, I finally got Freya on my actual island. So that was very exciting for me. I ran into work and was like, look at my Switch.
Yay.
And let's see, I think that's really been it. Kong versus Godzilla came out.
Oh.
And Tom was probably tired of hearing me talk about how excited I was for that. It was a great movie. I loved it. I don't care what any reviews, I don't care what anybody else has to say about it. Don't care about your opinion. I loved it. Loved it. I hope there's more.
I want to see it.
It was really good. You have my HBO, don't you? No? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk about it. And that's been it for me. What about you, buddy?
Well, my...
What about you, buddy?
Well, my time during this week has been spent playing Animal Crossing still. I can't break my streak of not playing every day. So at the end of March, we reached 1 year. And for the anniversary, the game gave us a little one-year cake. And, of course, it's displayed in my house. And then we have the Mario items still, which stayed out much longer than I thought they would. Got all of them. I'm happy.
Oh, they're not going to just always be available?
Honestly, I thought once April 1st hit, they were going to disappear. I don't think they're going to be available forever. I could be wrong. If anyone knows this, hit us up.
Can you catalog them and then reorder them that way? Or once they're gone, will they be gone, gone?
I don't know.
I'm going to just have to go finish buying the rest of them.
You should, because I feel like at any moment, Nintendo's going to take them away, because it's kind of what they do these days with Mario All-Stars 3D, which I also picked up, have not even opened it and played yet.
I downloaded mine. I have been on this big download kick here recently. Mm-hmm. I love that when you buy things on the Switch, you get the gold coins.
Yes.
I have been getting so many of those like 99-cent, $3 games for free because of how many coins I have.
Really? I need to.
You should check those out. I got the Cartoon Network Battle Crashers game for free last night.
Do you like it?
I haven't played it yet. I just downloaded it, but I was like, free? Yeah, I'll download it. Yeah, cool.
I have downloaded one of them, and I downloaded Streets of Rage 4. Haven't got too far into it yet, but I'm a huge fan of the series. If you guys remember way back in season one, when we did our favorite video game, Streets of Rage 2 was on mine, and Streets of Rage 4 is such an homage to the original Sega series. I like what I've played yet, but you guys will hear more about that when I get a little further. I thought Tom had a question. I was like, yes, Tom.
you're really big into the side-scrolling combat games.
I love those games. Rival Turf, all of them.
Did you ever play the Sailor Moon Super Nintendo game?
I have not. It's really hard and really expensive to find.
I have it on the Pi, but it's in Japanese, so we don't know what any of the dialogue is, but we can still play it.
Yes, we played another game like that similarly.
We're getting a new Turtles game, aren't we?
We are. Shredder's Revenge.
And isn't it going to be like basically Turtles in Time, but updated?
Not so much Turtle in Time, but more so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. Which I know Turtles in Time was kind of a sequel to that, but this is the old school arcade feeling. Like almost like the X-Men, the arcade game.
Which That's is like awesome. A side-scroller beat-em-up style. Yes. So I'm for it. I'm excited.
Uh-huh.
We're all going to download it and play together, right?
Absolutely. Yeah?
Okay.
Wait, who's your turtle?
Donatello.
Michelangelo.
Donatello.
Oh, snap.
One of us is going to have to change, but I mean, we're also both wearing Power Ranger shirt.
There's the intellectual one.
And I didn't get the memo because
the one.
Yeah.
You can grab my Pink Ranger jacket. Real
it's okay.
Quick
it's okay. It's on. Okay.
I'm a big fan of Raphael though. So
there you go.
You can have Dawn, but purple is like an awesome color.
Problem solved.
It was the staff. It wasn't about the color for me because blue is my favorite color. So with that logic, I should have wanted Leonardo. But it was the staff. I just thought the bow staff was so cool.
See, and I liked Michelangelo's like laid-back attitude, anything goes, when I was really younger.
Cowabunga, dude.
Which is quite the opposite of me, older as I am now.
Oh, no.
But the other big thing that's taking up my life is right now, I am participating in Camp NaNoWriMo, which is a month where you, again, challenge yourself to write a novel, or you can almost do anything, because Camp NaNoWriMo, it's not official, and just like the real one, it's only for yourself, but with Camp NaNoWriMo, you get to choose your word limit. And I, of course, am choosing a novel because it's the way I am, but...
Go big or go home.
Exactly, but you know, I know people who complete short stories in it, and the first time I started participating in Camp NaNoWriMo, I was like, I'm going to do 30,000. And then when I hit 50,000 some, I'm like, oh, well, I hit 30,000 like in the first few weeks. I'm like, oh, okay, you're going to write another novel in a month. And it's going to be completed by the end.
Nice.
And it's the 8th one in my series.
Oh. And is that the
Willow Hollow
yes. series? Did you use any of the words that we suggested yet?
Not yet. I opened it up to them. So I asked them if they
he
would
did
suggest
it, not
words.
Us. I mean, he made the mistake of asking us. So,
you know, I also thought I was going to get like 5. I left room for 5. So you can still maybe think of a few, but the first one's probably getting ready to come up. And as of right now, as of this time, we are maybe, what is today's date? 10th? 9th? I don't know.
No idea.
Not trying to really date this show, but a few days in, I'm really proud of myself because I've already reached 21,000. I just need to like get a little further in the actual story. And then I'll be really happy. But that's...
Has my name been dropped yet?
No, sadly. No. Not yet.
I would love to see Reggie, just this character Reggie mentioned, but never actually show up.
Yes. See, that's really easy to do. It could happen. But I'm already in book 8, so you might have to read them all to get to it.
Is there an audiobook option?
Not yet, but I might be working on that.
We should do one. We'll help voice characters.
Yes.
I think it's been really impressive seeing your posts every day on Instagram.
Whenever
you do your because it makes me feel good because I'm like, oh, my buddy's doing it. He's doing it. He's reaching goals. I'm not. But he is.
I mean, it's a challenge and I love the challenge, but at the end of the month, I'm going to be so glad to be done. 2,500 words a day, Monday through Friday is a lot. And I do write on the weekend. I just don't push myself to do that many because I need to have a life that's not writing. But I'm really excited for it. I'm happy where it's going. And
yeah, you got to have time for a podcast.
Exactly. So that's been what I've been nerding out on.
Sounds good.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So are we jumping into these B-movie lists?
Absolutely. And we'll start with my list. I really, really love B-movies, you guys. And there are some bad ones, but there's a lot of good ones. And if they're so bad they're good, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So starting at the top of my list, Children of the Corn. Not just the first one, which everyone accepts is a good movie. I'm talking about all nine.
The whole series.
Yes, I have them all on DVD.
Even that weird one when she's like in an apartment complex, mm-hmm. and the Children of the Corn come for her.
Yes, I think that might actually be one of my favorite if it's the same one I'm thinking of. Because she goes to see her grandmother. Yeah,
yep,
that is the one. The first one and that one. It's Children of the Corn Revelations. It's the seventh one in the series. Is my favorite.
Did you watch the Sci-Fi Channel remake?
I did. And at first I didn't like it, but then I realized that was the actual Stephen King story, whereas what we consider the first one...
It was a movie version.
It was. It was a movie version of a book that they took a lot of liberties with.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I also liked the actor and the main two people in it. I like those actors. So. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, no, both versions are good. If it's Children of the Corn, I'll watch it. I know there'd be movies. They're ridiculous. I was a little upset when I was younger because I found out the second one was shot in North Carolina. And I was like, I could have been a Child of the Corn. Why didn't my parents get me on this?
They just didn't love you enough.
I've never seen
the second one is kind of like one of the worst, but still. Yeah, and of course, it was shot in North Carolina and be one of the worst, but whatever. Next on my list, I have Mega Python versus Gatoroid, also known as Debbie Gibson versus Tiffany sci-fi movie.
I think we're alone now.
Yes, they say that in there.
I know,
it's my favorite part.
One of my favorite things in college was to wake up on Saturday and put on whatever sci-fi channel
Me too.
Movie was on. And I love
Sci-fi movie Saturdays. Yes, I would use that time, especially when I took art history. I would make all my flashcards watching those movies from 10 in the morning until 7 at night. And usually 7 o'clock is when they would premiere the new one, which was always something like Mega Python versus Gatoroid. But yeah, that one had Tiffany and Debbie Gibson in it. And it's just one of my favorites because a giant snake and a giant alligator fighting all over in the city. Tiffany and Debbie Gibson are fighting. It's just so cheesy and fun, and I love it.
But it's good.
It is.
I mean, it's good. Tiffany, I think we're alone now. And mm-hmm. then Debbie Gibson's big hit was Shake Your Love. Shake
Your Love.
I honestly don't know her as well as I do Tiffany.
Shake Your Love. I just can't shake your love. I don't own that, so don't sue me.
Well, and I don't think they did it in the movie either, did they? Because they did the ode to Tiffany.
They did the Tiffany, but I don't think Debbie Gibson got anything.
Yeah, I don't think she did either. And what I'm referring to, guys, is they're fighting at this party, Debbie Gibson and Tiffany, and then one of the giant creatures comes through and is killing everyone else. And then when they stop fighting and finally realize everything else has gone silent, they do the whole, I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around.
Haha. Insert laugh track.
Yes. So yeah, that movie, I think just for the cheesiness of having those two 80 stars, it had to make my list. And it's one of my favorites, honestly. I'll watch it anytime I see it on TV. But moving right along my list, this one I didn't really think was considered a B-movie until I started to do research, and then the more I thought about it, I'm like, it is. But the original Night of the Living Dead.
The black and white one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorites, honestly, but I love it. It's in that era of film of the 60s that Dark Shadows is also in, so, you know, it may not have the best special effects, but that's what I love about it.
I mean,
the little girl walking with the mm-hmm. trowel towards her mother for like 5 minutes and her just it was a B movie.
Yes.
I mean, I watched the colorized version,
which is also good.
I don't know. That's, I feel like it sucks a lot of life out of the movie. Like the, it being black and white is part of the appeal to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I wonder if that's like why Walking Dead was a black and white comic.
I'm sure that that's an homage to it.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, that movie, I still find it kind of creepy, but then at the same time, like that one character who was like, we can run from them. They move so slow. You know, these aren't the 28 days later.
No.
Don't want those zombies.
But it's a classic, so it had to make my list. Next up, I have Headless Horseman, which I don't know if a lot of people or even you guys have heard of.
Not Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp.
Not that one. So Headless Horseman was a movie that I discovered on Sci-Fi Saturday Movies. And it is about a group of fans that get stranded in this very desolate backwoods area for some odd reason is haunted by the Headless Horseman. And
like they are.
And they end up in this junkyard, and the mechanic says that they could fix their car, but they really lured them there so the Headless Horseman could have their heads and sacrifice them.
Like you do.
Yes. It wasn't particularly Halloween themed or anything. It was just the Headless Horseman was in these backwoods with these rednecks.
Never went for the rednecks, went for the kids.
Yeah. Well, eventually I think he got them. They didn't have like a deal worked out, but because they would lure people, he would kind of leave them alone. Yeah, and I think I might even have that one on DVD if anyone's
interested. Might have to watch that one.
All right, finally, number one. If anyone knows me, it should not be too big of a surprise, but I love this movie so, so much. Sharktopus.
Not the werewolf?
No, absolutely not the werewolf. They did a movie. I think Sharktopus squared off against the werewolf.
I'm pretty sure there was something versus Sharktopus.
Yes, and the third one was a pterodactyl hybrid with something else.
Okay.
The Sharktopus versus something else movies are not good, but the original did not take itself seriously at all, and that's what makes it so good. It was campy, it was funny, it had everything that you think of kind of like a bad B movie would have. Sharktopus, it has an awesome theme song, and
it was like Goldmember or something. Sharktopus.
Yeah, it is. It's really like that. You know, it's not trying to be Jaws, and that's what I love about it. It's a half octopus, which the octopus is the bottom half, so it's the legs, and the shark is the front head, or the front of it, or the top of it, whatever you want to call it. But Sharktopus is also really unique, where when it wants to go ashore of the beach, it walks on the tentacles, which was just hilarious. And they were so pointed that they could just, like, stab people with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, are your tentacles not pointed? That's embarrassing.
So yeah, Sharktopus, like, when I saw that movie, I fell in love with it. I bought it out on DVD as soon as it came on DVD. I've shown it to some of my friends, and we all had like a really good sit down and laugh at it.
Maybe we should do a movie review of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm up for it. Like I said, I own the DVD. But yeah, so that is my list. Sharktopus, I think, is the best B movie in my opinion. I do have one honorable mention, and actually I really want to say two because I kind of forgot about Mars Attacks, which I love so much. But I listed as my honorable mention Piranaconda, another Sci-Fi Saturday movie. If they just want to keep making hybrid monster movies, I will watch them.
Well, and then not even just the hybrid monsters, but also the weather monsters.
Oh my god, yes.
Like volcano spider, or was it? Lava arachnids or something like that. Yes. And then there was the snow one and
Triassic Attack,
yep.
Which was dinosaur bones, which makes me think of a scary movie every time.
Would you run from Clovis the Flockhart?
Yes.
I'm guessing, Tom, you didn't watch any of these sci-fi movies.
I have not seen.
Wow, I didn't realize you were so neglected as a child.
So that's my list.
It's a good list.
Thank you. I did prepare something special for these B movies that we were going to talk about. And I went online, inspired by another podcast I listened to that reviews places. And so I thought I'd try to find some really kind of funny reviews about two B movies, one of them being, of course, Sharktopus, and the other being a movie that I've just heard about in the last few years, so I think it's a little older than, like, very recent, but it's Velocipastor, a pastor who can turn into a Velociraptor.
Praise him.
But we'll start with the Sharktopus reviews.
Let's hear them.
Okay, Scott G. from Rotten Tomatoes gave it 3 stars. It is what it is, and anyone expecting anything more shouldn't. It's not the worst of the crop of these monster movies popping up lately, In contrast to Mega Piranha, it's decent. So sit back, relax, and watch a bleep movie with bad effects and even more crap acting, because that's all you will get.
Yay!
I like it.
That guy sounds nice.
Yeah,
he does. He sounds nice, but the rest of them are one stars.
Oh, okay.
So Lisa from Amazon gave it 1 star out of 5 for bad language. Did not like the bad language. I bought this for my son, and because of profanity, I had to take it away.
Wow. That's, it was called Sharktopus.
Uh-huh.
And you bought it for your kid?
Who's probably 5. I would not let them watch that movie. Not yet. They're not quite ready for Sharktopus yet. They don't even probably understand what it is.
No.
Yeah. All right, and the last one on Sharktopus is titled Run Away from Crazy Snake Man.
Okay.
You've got to be kidding me. We rooted for the Sharktopus McGiggle thing because the acting was catastrophic. Eric Roberts is ridiculous, but clearly trying his best. Thank you for that, my PIC. I don't know what that means.
Partner in crime?
No.
Ooh, maybe. And the least said about the cast members, the better. Sorry, I farted. Whoops. 2 bottles of wine, 3 cans of beer, utilizing 4 straws. Could not make this film anything other than complete crack. Recommendation for 2 people. Get a big bat of green before considering watching this film for the comedic value. I will now repeat myself. And then he does and ends with shed out.
So basically get stoned and watch it because it's the only way it's good?
Yeah, that's what he says, but I like it.
I'm ready to watch it as I am right now. So let's...
All right, so Velociraptor. I don't think any of us have seen this.
Pastor, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so hard. Trudy from Amazon gave it 1 star out of 5.
Thanks, Trudes.
This movie is so bad, Spinguli wouldn't even use it for his show. The Sailor was awesome, packaging was great, and this movie is truly amazingly bad. If you love bad sci-fi, it's still bad.
But she bought it.
Mm-hmm.
What was she expecting?
Maybe she thought it was like a religious movie. You know what I mean? Like she thought, because it's called Velocipastor, so she thought it was going to have strong Christian undertones. Probably doesn't.
I wish I could have found a review that had that. All right, next one is another 1-star review from Zilla Killa on Amazon. I couldn't get more than 5 minutes into this movie before I had to turn it off. Horrible acting. Opening scene, woman running through the woods, dressed in white. Gets shot with an arrow/dart. She falls to the ground with blood all over her shirt. The star of the movie rushes over to her, picks up the bloody body, and says, "Are you hurt?" I made it about another 2 minutes and gave up. Don't waste your time.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's fair to give a review if something you only watch 5 minutes of.
Agreed.
That's, you should have watched the remaining 50 minutes that were left and then told us about it.
There's a lot of these reviews on this movie was talked about how like it really, really tried to be funny and wasn't. Okay. They might have tried too hard. But I've got 2 more about this one, and they're really short. Klein Joshua from also Amazon, I think. No, IMDb reviews. Says, wow, this was horrible. I like cheesy horror flicks, but this was bad. Not Sharknado bad, but pretty bad.
Don't disrespect Sharknado like that.
All right, and finally, our last one is from Amazon. 2 stars out of 5. Somebody spent a lot of time and attention making money on a movie with a guy wearing a bad dinosaur costume and with bad mannequin heads for heads that were chopped off. It's really a strange combination of good and bad.
Sounds like my kind of movie.
There's a lot of things that apparently they were trying to be so funny that I read about this, that they were using the really cheesy dinosaur gloves. And then the costume was really clunky and it would slash people's heads off. But you would see like... there'd be a person 1 minute and there'd be like a quick flash. It's a mannequin and its head gets chopped off. Almost like the Michael Scott movie In the Office when he blows up Chubby's head.
Yeah.
That's how I picture it.
We need to watch it. That's all I know is that we need to watch it ASAP.
I started hearing about this movie in the last couple of years, last year and this year. A lot more people are finding it, but the date of it was either like 2019 or 2018 of it. And I'm like, how's this now just a thing?
Well, we're going to find it. We're going to watch it.
Yes.
Thomas?
Well, speaking of Velocipastor, getting into my list. This was actually kind of hard because I haven't seen many B movies apparently, because I was I'm having to reach for some of these.
Would you do sports in high school or something?
But number five on my list, even though I haven't seen it, Velocipastor, because one of my favorite podcasts, How Did This Get Made, that talks about different, you know, bad movies. I actually recently listened to an episode on this one, and they raised a lot of the similar concerns that Shane was talking about, in the sense that it was like, it was hard to tell whether they were taking themselves seriously or making it a spoof. They said it was like two different movies. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just even the whole premise of it gets even more absurd, because apparently the whole thing is there are these people who run like religious addictions clinics to help people get clean. And their whole thing is they're going to get everyone addicted to drugs, so they'll have to use their religious addiction clinics. And that's like the plot that the Velocipastor is fighting. It's like, not with my Christianity. But it just, that's apparently the plot. And I just,
blasphemous.
I had to include it because it just sounds so absurd. And I also need kind of a space filler.
Sapphi took all the monster hybrids, and now we have to go to monster people hybrids.
Yep.
But another thing they did talk about was how clunky the dinosaur costume was, and just some of the timing of just certain things in it. We need to watch it.
Yes, we need to watch it.
Next on my list, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I've actually only seen this once, but I included it because of the story. It's this this movie has a big place in the McDonough family lore, because my brother Brett, when he was really little, saw that movie and is terrified of clowns to this day from seeing that. And, you know, it's one of those that's like, you know, it's supposed to be fun and campy and not like super scary at the same time. But it scared the crap out of my brother growing up. And he used to wear a clown nose around the house. And my mom thought that it was because he liked clowns.
Oh, no.
It was because he was trying to blend in. If the killer clowns came to take him, they would think he was one of them.
No.
But he hates clowns. And that was like a recurring, like giving my brother a hard time about this movie was like a recurring theme throughout my childhood. But that's why I included it.
I love that movie.
I remember the baby clown crying when its toy gets messed up and then it like kills someone. Mm-hmm. next on my list, Evil Dead. Obviously, you know, I guess maybe because it's such a popular, like, it has such like a cult following, I guess I didn't expect it to show up on B movies, but I mean, the original one was literally just apparently Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi saying like, we want to make a movie and we're going to do it ourselves. And that's basically what they did. And then I guess it kind of got retconned a bit by Evil Dead 2, which was, as we've talked about before, was a requel. Meaning mm-hmm. it was like a remake and a sequel at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like the story about how that movie came about. I love Ash, the character. And I mean, anything with a chainsaw hand. He didn't have the chainsaw hand in the original one, though.
He doesn't get it till the second one, does he?
Yeah. And there's actually like a joke on like, because he goes to the place where the chainsaw was in the first one and like opens it, and there's just a drawing of a chainsaw. And then he gets it attached as his hand. But love the Evil Dead movies. Mm-hmm. Still need to see Army of Darkness and finish.
And the show.
Yeah, I'm a season into the show. It's good. Really good. Like that. Next one on my list is Mars Attacks. I saw this movie with my uncle when I was little because I really wanted to see it, and it was the same situation as Killer Clowns in Outer Space was for my brother. It scared the crap out of me. And like, I did not, there were numerous sleepless nights throughout my childhood because of Mars Attacks.
Really?
And like, you know how, like, when you're little, you would like have to go down in the basement or something to get something that was scary and you felt like someone was following you on the way out. I was terrified I was going to run into one of those aliens in the basement.
In your basement, of all the basements in the world. Your basement.
I did not. I guess I didn't pick up on the fact that was supposed to be a funny or a spoof in any way whatsoever.
It was hilarious.
I loved it. Yeah. Yes. It was.
At that age, all what scared me was like the guns that made people just turn straight into skeletons.
The blue and the, was it orange?
It was like green and red.
Green and red. That's what it was. Green.
I guess the way the aliens killed people in that movie scared me. But I guess I should have picked up on it was a comedy at that age since they killed all the aliens with yodeling.
I fall to pieces. I love that movie. I saw that in theaters.
I did too. That's when I got so traumatized by it.
I'm a few years older than you. Yeah. So.
Same.
I did not pick up that it was a comedy at all. And then my number one, Escape from L.A. with Kurt Russell in it.
Not surprised. Yeah,
not even a little bit.
I think I've gone into this on the podcast before, but I first saw this movie like in middle of the night in college. I had like just gotten back from working a double shift or something, so I was exhausted. And I like sit down, and it's before we didn't have digital cable at my apartment at the time. It was before you could just press like, "What is this that I'm watching?" and it would tell you. So I did not know what this movie was, and I guess it was like commercial free. So mm-hmm. there was never like a like, and we'll get back to Escape from L.A. So
welcome back to Escape from L.A.
I was literally watching this movie that was just super super weird. Kurt Russell shows up with an eye patch, and his name's Snake Plissken, and he surfs a tsunami with Peter Fonda, and Steve Buscemi is Maps to the Stars Eddie, and L.A. is an island that broke off the mainland and is used as a prison colony for anyone who doesn't believe in the same type of Christianity as the guy who played Uncle Ben in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. He is like a theocratic president.
Yep.
So I was just so absolutely lost throughout this entire movie and was like,
it was a simple plot to follow. I don't know what the big deal is.
I was just watching. I was like, what is this? And one point there's like a fake Che Guevara character who's like a revolutionary and makes him play basketball as a death sport in the LA Coliseum.
I like the second one a lot.
That is the second one. Escape from New York was the first
one. Oh, New York, LA is, because the whole point of that one is he's trying to get the president's daughter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to save her.
But apparently just numerous major cities in this universe are prison colonies that people, he has to save people from. And it was just bananas, but it was also just a really fun movie. And that's why I made number one, because it just
clearly
confused the heck out of me when I first saw it.
That's a good list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's my turn to give my list.
It is. Let us hear your list.
Bring us home.
So I love bad movies. It's like one of my favorite things in the world are really bad movies. And there were a lot of movies that I didn't realize that were considered B movies that when I started researching. So I put them on here.
Surprise.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Didn't know that was a B movie.
Really?
No, I love that movie growing up. Well, I mentioned before when I was younger, we had VHSs for holidays. Killer Clowns was on the Halloween VHS. So every single October, I watched that movie 3, 4, 5 times.
That's awesome.
It didn't scare me. I do have a fear of clowns, but that comes from it, not Killer Clowns. next on my list, Sharknado 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 20,000. I love them all. One of my favorite drag queens, Alaska, she was in, I think, Sharknado 5, maybe 4. I can't remember which one exactly. Great, horrible, horrible movies. I personally don't hate Tara Reid as much as everybody else in the world does. I do think, I'm glad that she sobered up. You know, she was a little bit of a mess. I love her in that. You know, she gets her hand bitten off and she gets all kinds of different weaponry on her hand, and it's bad. It's BA. It's pretty cool.
I haven't seen it all the way through. I've seen it in bits and pieces, but the part where at the end he just like stands up with a chainsaw and a shark just like flies through him.
Yep. Sharknado, such good movies. Watch them. Go watch them for the whole family. It's fun.
Yeah. Ian Ziering and Tara Reid.
Next on my list, which I did not know was a B movie until I started researching it, but Mars Attacks. I love that movie. I thought that movie was fantastic.
It is.
Pierce Brosnan, Sarah Jessica Parker, Michael J. Fox, Glenn Close, mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson, who plays like three different characters in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the president.
I know he's the president.
He's the casino guy owner who's married to the hippie lady who goes with the crystals. Maybe he's only two then. Maybe he's just those two people. Natalie Portman. I love that movie. I thought it was hilarious when I saw it in theaters. Again, I'm a couple years older than you, so I was a little bit more mature. Next on my list is Dead Alive. Have you guys ever heard or seen that movie?
No.
It's I don't know if it's his very first movie, but mm-hmm. It's a Peter Jackson movie. It's filmed in New Zealand in like the late 70s, and basically this magical monkey bites this guy's mom and she becomes this like horrific monster zombie thing. Really funny, really weird, really gory. Go watch it. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you think of it.
I mean, if that's a magical monkey, that automatically equals B movie.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that monkey is mentioned in the Peter Jackson Kong movie. Whatever the name of that monkey is from Dead Alive, they mention it again, like it's something that came from Skull Island or something like that.
Of course it did.
You know, they love doing little things like that. Dead mm-hmm. Alive, watch it. Really, really annual meeting. When you watch it, you'll laugh at what I just said. And then also for my final one, when I was researching, I don't consider this a B movie, but it was on the list, so I had to put it. The Leprechaun franchise. Jennifer Aniston's first movie.
Uh-huh.
Really? The first Leprechaun. I loved it. Maybe it was the third one when they're in Las Vegas. And the guy gets his like face cut up with the lawnmower because he thinks they're boobies. I'm still stuck with me to this day. Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun Back to the Hood, Leprechaun in Space.
I did not know there were that many.
Oh yeah, there's Leprechaun 1, 2, 3, either. Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun Back to the Hood, and then Leprechaun in Space. And then there was like a remake Leprechaun on Sci-Fi Channel that was not as great as the originals.
Was that pre-Friends Jennifer Aniston?
Oh yeah, she's like 18, 19 years old. I'm pretty sure it's the very, very first thing she's ever done.
Oh wow.
A little evil leprechaun. You steal his gold and he's gonna steal your life, basically. But those were my lists. And then for my honorable mention, I don't know if they're B movies or not, but all of the old school Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
With the wires, you can see Mothra's wires flapping and Godzilla is a person in the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those movies.
Megazord animation.
Yeah, Megazord animation. And those are my list. That's my list.
Oh, that's a great list.
Excellent list.
I remember seeing the Leprechaun movies in the Blockbusters and VHSs when those were a thing. And I just remember a thing like that little leprechaun because it showed the evil side of it. It was so ugly.
Warwick Davis is the actor who's
really?
A leprechaun in all those. He's the same guy who's in the Harry Potter movies as the conductor, music teacher guy. And he's Willow in the Willow movie. I like Warwick Davis.
Yay, that was a great list. I think all of our lists are really great because we covered a wide range of B-movies. I am really sad, even though I've never seen it, no one mentioned Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I've never seen that one.
I've seen both of those movies, and I used to watch the cartoon when I was a kid.
I remember the cartoon, and again, with the old Blockbuster stores, I remember always seeing like the cover case of it, and mm-hmm. it looked like a little cartoon, and I was always kind of interested in it, but as young as I am, whenever I got to choose a movie, it'd automatically be like, you know, something probably like Scooby-Doo.
That and the Toxic Avenger.
Oh, yeah, the Toxic Avenger.
I was
Toxic
torn on
Avenger.
Putting both of those on mine.
And that was a TV show too.
Mm-hmm. Cartoon show. Yeah, the old lady had a, like her chapstick was a pencil eraser. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I remember. Yeah, I know. I remember weird things.
No, hey, we had my brother and I, I'm pretty sure my brother had it, but action figure.
Oh, yep.
Think still probably have it. But yeah, so those were great. And I think that'll do it for this week.
Absolutely. It's great to be back.
It is. We're so happy to be back with you guys.
Enjoyed this so much.
We've missed it. We've missed you. We hope you've missed us.
And don't worry, because we're coming back with a vengeance.
We are. And hey, don't forget, check us out online. All of our social media is Total Nerdlist, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com.
And new for this season, YouTube.
Yes.
You can watch us now.
Hey, you watch us being Boozle, so watch us on YouTube doing other things.
Well, it was fun. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye, so you just hit